fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A fabulous Friday to you. Welcome to the program. So glad that you're with us today. You know, it's been kind of an embarrassment of riches on this show recently. Yesterday, in case you missed it, we had an incredible program, an interview with John Scott, who also took calls from listeners. And John Scott, of course, was the most valuable player of the 2016 NHL All-Star Game, a rather unlikely story that's literally being turned into a movie. But we had such a great program, just having him on the show, talking about Catholic manhood, what it means to be a girl dad, you know, hashtag girl dad, and what it means to be a leader in your family, in your marriage, in your parish, in your community. I think a lot of people found that really, really uplifting and encouraging. And I got so many messages after that show thanking us for having him on the program. So if you missed that, the good news is all is not lost, not by a long shot. In fact, you can go and download that episode from relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts, wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. It's a great, great show. And you're going to want to share that with your friends, especially those who might be kind of on the fringes of the faith. And that's really why we do things like that on the show. Sometimes people ask me, how can we talk about sports from time to time and things going on in culture, you know, music, movies, things like that? Well, one of the reasons why we do that is because we want to reach some people who are kind of on the fringes, who might not necessarily tune into Catholic radio. But if somebody like John Scott is on the program, that's got their attention. I know some of my friends, it certainly grabbed their interest for sure, and they checked out the program. So that was really encouraging. And as John said, sometimes we just need someone else. We just need to know that there's another guy out there who is believing the same things that we are to give us the courage to stand up for our faith. So that was just a great program. So you're going to want to go ahead and download that from relevantradio.com. And as I said, it's an embarrassment of riches on the program this week. We have another amazing guest who's a great friend of the program who's joined us again today. He is the associate pastor of St. Peter Charbel Church in Chanel Church, excuse me, in Hawaiian Gardens, California. He is an oblate of the Virgin Mary. He was ordained as a priest by St. John Paul II himself in 1986. He is the author of Roadmap to Heaven, From Humdrum to Holy, A Step-by-Step Guide to Living Like a Saint, and also Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary. He's a great friend of the program. He's been here before, and hopefully he'll come back many, many times in the future. I want to welcome Father Ed Broom to the show. Father Ed, how are you?
Great. Thank you very much for the invitation, Cale. Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Well, thanks again for taking the time. And earlier this week, you came out with a really fascinating article called 50 Things You Ever Wanted to Know About Confession. That was published on CatholicExchange.com. And that's a great topic for this week because, of course, just a couple of days ago, it was the feast day of St. Padre Pio, who, of course, brought a lot of souls back to Christ in many different ways through his many miracles, through bilocation, you know, all the sort of freaky stuff. But in the confessional, the nitty-gritty of just confessing sin, he brought so many people back to Christ that way. And it's such a privileged place where we can find healing and hope in our spiritual lives. And of course, our Jewish friends are celebrating Yom Kippur this weekend, the Day of Atonement. So it kind of ties in very, very nicely. And I know, Father Broom, you're a huge baseball fan, and I know you're super excited about the playoffs coming up, and my Toronto Blue Jays made it in, your Yankees are going to be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But of course, we all know, especially if you're a Dodger fan out there, Sandy Koufax, of course, one of the most famous Jewish athletes in American sports, once made national headlines when he refused to pitch on Yom Kippur because that was when it fell on the day of the first game of the 1965 World Series. And he had to be replaced by Don Drysdale, who really did a terrible job. And when he was pulled from the game, he told the Dodgers manager at the time, Walter Alston, "I bet you wish I was Jewish too. I was just awful today." And anyway, so that kind of ties in because the Day of Atonement for us, of course, was the day that Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. So how does that tie in to confession?
Yeah, the origin of the sacrament actually comes there at the cenacle. It mm-hmm. was actually the day of the resurrection. Our Lord, the apostles are in the upper room, and our Lord walks through the wall, and he breathes on them, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Whose sins you they hold bind, they will be held bound. Mm-hmm. So it was the Easter gift. Our Lord gives the apostles the ability to forgive sins in his name by breathing upon them the Holy Spirit. And there's just so much, so many graces that come through this sacrament. But it's done through the ministry of the priesthood. And I find as a priest now already for close mm-hmm. to 35 years, even during the pandemic, I'm spending about 4 hours here in confessions. What we've done is we set up a confessional out in the parking lot in St. Peter's Chanel here in Southern California. And I hear confession from 11 to 1 and then from 5 to 7. And a lot of people are coming. You know, it's kind of like if the field of dreams, if you build it, they will come, you know.
Wow.
And people are coming. They're pouring in other places you hear where people simply don't come to confession that much. I think the secret for us is this. Number one, as a priest, I have to be a good penitent. Mm-hmm. I have to experience the mercy of God myself. The second is that I have to preach the sacrament because there's a lot of ignorance on it. Third is that I would have to be available, because if I'm preaching it and I'm not available, then people are not going to come. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the way that we treat people, we have to be merciful, but also we have to tell the truth. You know, people sometimes they don't want to hear the truth. Tomorrow, you probably know, we celebrate Pope Paul VI, and it was his, that document, Humana Vitae, is very controversial, and we have to accept the hard sayings at times. So I say to the people, the two greatest things that you can do in your life is to receive the Eucharist and to receive absolution. What's greater than that, no? It's like, you know, a grand slam and, you know, the ninth inning when you're behind three runs, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Father Ed Broom is our guest on the Cale Clark Show today on Relevant Radio. If you'd like a question to be asked of Father, you can tweet at me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E is my Twitter handle. You can also call the show directly if you'd like to speak to Father Broom, ask him a question about the spiritual life. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. Once again, 1-888-914-9149. You can also email us, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Now, you were speaking a moment ago, Father, about the institution of the Sacrament of Confession. And of course, that comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 21 to 23 in particular. And one of the things that people often ask about confession, and we hear this a lot from not just non-Catholics, but also sometimes from Catholics themselves, and you deal with this a little bit in your article, is it possible simply to confess directly to God? Why do I need to go to the sacrament?
That's a great question, and basically, the Protestants believe you can confess directly to God. But given the fact that our Lord instituted the sacrament there in the upper room, the cenacle, and we have the biblical verse, as you mentioned, John chapter 20, 21 to 23, our Lord could have decided to reconcile sins without that. But given that he instituted that sacrament, that's the way it should be done. And there's a lot of obstacles. This once happened to me. It's probably happened to you and a lot of our listeners. About 2 years ago, I was making my retreat as a priest. I make an eight-day retreat every year in L.A. Mm-hmm. And I try to make a good general confession for the whole year. So I prepared myself. I wrote out my sins, got in my car, drove from L.A. to Dominguez Hills, which is about 20 minutes away, where I have my confessor. And I was there in the car, and I couldn't get out of the car. And the reason why, I was paralyzed with fear.
Really?
And yes. And I heard this voice, "You are not ready to make this confession yet. You go back to the house there, do a more thorough examination of conscience. And once you're prepared, come back and do the confession." And I turned on the ignition of the car, and I drove back. When I was driving back, I recognized it was the devil. It was the devil that had convinced me not. And I think it's probably happened to you or a lot of your listeners. "I'm going to go to confession next Saturday." "No, you know, you're kind of busy. The priest is, the line is long. The priest is going to bark at you and this and that." All of these objections, and they come from part of the spiritual exercise. We talked a little bit about that, mm-hmm. because I was with you on July 31st when we talked about Ignatius.
That's right. Yeah, good memory. How could you forget that, of course?
That's right. We have the two standards. You've got the good spirit working on you and the bad spirit. And often, the bad spirit will try to prevent us from having major spiritual victories. And he's a, you know, the devil, John chapter 8, you're a real expert in the Bible, Kael. John chapter 8, what does our Lord say? He says that the devil is a liar and a murderer mm-hmm. from the beginning. So he wants to lie to prevent us from having these spiritual victories. So, you know, the young people have that T-shirt, just do it. No,
yeah.
Just do it. And just do it and don't put it off. So I invite people to try to go to confession at least once a month. Sacraments have, they confer grace, but every sacrament has a specific sacramental grace. That of the Eucharist is nourishment. The body, blood, soul, mm-hmm. and divinity of Christ nourishes our soul. But the sacrament of confession, it heals us. It's mm-hmm. like going to Olive Garden or going to the doctor. You know, we go to Olive Garden because we want to have a good lasagna,
making me hungry.
Right?
I haven't had dinner yet. You, don't talk about the Olive Garden now. But anyways.
But then, you know, when we get sick, we go to the doctor. So confession is it's healing, and I like to present it this way: mm-hmm. healing can be. It can be either curative or preventive. Mm-hmm. If you go to confession frequently, you're actually preventing a future fall. And when we do fall, we go and we're cured because Jesus is the divine physician. How is he? How does he actualize his medicinal grace? It's especially through the sacrament of confession. So if we want to have wholesome souls, we go to the Eucharist frequently, and we go to confession frequently under the guidance and prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I think we've got a winner there.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like it. And, you know, I think obviously in terms of curative medicine, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to people when you go to confession, you can have your sins forgiven. You know, G.K. Chesterton was once asked, why did you become a Catholic? And he had a lot of different, like, one-liner answers to that question. And one of them was, to get my sins forgiven. So I think that, I mean, yeah, it's true. But you also talked about this in your article that came out this week on 50 Questions About Confession. You talk about preventative medicine. You just touched on that a moment ago. And you use the example of getting a flu shot, you know, to prevent you from mm-hmm. catching it in the first place. So how can confession give us the grace in our future struggle against sin?
Yes. One of the analogies I've used is this. A few years ago, before the pandemic, obviously, mm-hmm. I was about to get a cold, and I was starting to sneeze, and someone in the parish came up to me and said, Father, it looks like you're about to get a cold. I have an idea. And they said, well, what's your idea? Well, I went to the pharmacy, and they have this this new thing that can really help people that are about to get a cold, and it's called Airborne. And it's not marijuana, okay? Airborne, okay?
Okay. Well, they always say there's no high like the most high, right? We want to avoid that stuff.
There you go. But anyway, it's like a condensed dosage of vitamin C. Really, that's what it is. Huh. It's like having maybe taking three or four oranges in one little lozenge. So I took two or three of those, and I didn't get the flu. Hmm. So I use that as an analogy for if you go to confession frequently, it serves to fortify your soul against your... Remember the kryptonite, Superman?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
To help you not to succumb to your kryptonite. We all have our own kryptonite. So, you know, another thing is this. And if I can use a baseball analogy, because you love baseball and you give a beautiful start.
Of course you can use one.
is this... Because I played baseball in high school a little bit at Villanova my first year. A pitcher, what is a pitcher going to do? He's going to be studying the batter to see where his weak point is. Is it going to be the fastball? Is it going to be the screwball? Is it going to be the slider? Is it going to be in the outside corner, the inside corner? I imagine these pitchers before they confront the batters. They probably watch hours and hours, you know, of videos. You know, the devil knows us too. Mm-hmm. He knows us in and out.
Yep.
And one of the fruits of confession is you get to know yourself better. Maybe you've read some of the Desert Fathers. They have these axioms that are really good. One is know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Socrates says that a life that is not examined is a life not worth living. And I think it's Toynbee that says that he who does not know history is condemned to repeat the same errors. No?
Yeah.
So a good part of making good confessions is we have to know what makes the clock tick and what makes the clock not tick in our interior life. So it serves to prevent these moral pitfalls, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, and it's funny that you mentioned, you know, we all have our own kryptonite. Today is actually would have been the birthday of Christopher Reeve, who, of course, played Superman in the early Superman film. So and it's so true. You know, there's a little bit of a arcane knowledge for you there. But having said that, you know, we think sometimes that we're Superman in the spiritual life, and that we, you know, very often we're quick to point out the sins of others, not realizing where we struggle in our own lives. And that's another reason why we need to make a sincere examination of conscience, not only before we go to confession, but also each day, you know, a little bit. Can you talk about that?
Yes. I think it's a good idea to examine our conscience every day. This is very Ignatian also, the daily examine. The daily examine for Ignatius is not always a moral examine, but is to see where your heart is. And what you do is you go through the day and you beg for the grace of the Holy Spirit to see where God has been present in your life and where you've walked away from God. And if you do that every day for 5 or 10 minutes, when you are ready to go to confession, the day is approaching, you know mm-hmm. yourself pretty well. So you're not going to have to be floundering no man's land, because you've been constantly examining your life to see where you're strong, but also where you're weak. So I think part of this Ignatian dynamic is to constantly be examining your thought process, your feelings, your motivations, where you have your bad tendencies, the good tendencies, your concupiscence. And once you bring this to the light in confession, your knowledge is enhanced, but also the grace of God comes from the blood of Christ, and that strengthens you almost like, kind of like a shield against the fiery mm-hmm. darts of the devil.
Yeah.
Because the devil, he never goes on vacation. He works, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, and 366 days a year, you know? A little bit of hyperbole is good, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a quick phone call right now. Elena is on the line from San Antonio, Texas. Elena, welcome to the show. You are on the line with Father Ed Broom.
Hi, Father. Hi, Kale. I love your show.
Thank you.
My problem is I go to confession. I try to go every once or twice a month, or every 2 months. But my problem is I cannot. Ever since I did a really good confession when I came back to the church, now when I go through the daily examine, it's like everything is no. So I can't articulate my sins when I'm in the confessional. And so then I just get tongue-tied, and then my mind goes blank. So if you can help me with that.
Yes. What I would suggest is this, if I can intervene now. I think it's a good idea to have a really good examination of conscience booklet. I've written one, but it hasn't been approved yet. Hopefully it will be in the near future. But Father Altier, we've been using this for about 15 years in the spiritual exercises, has written a really good examination of conscience, in which he gives a summary of the teaching of John Paul II on reconciliation and penance, which was the apostolic exhortation of John Paul II on confession, 1980. And then what he does is he goes through, I think it's a good idea to know the difference between a mortal sin and venial sin, too. Mortal sin, you've got grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. And then he just goes through the Ten Commandments. I think it's a good idea for you, Elena, and for everyone for that matter, to pull out a piece of paper and just write down the sins that occur to you when you're going through the Ten Commandments. Because, face it, we all, you know, it's easy to get nervous when you're going to confession. You know, you draw a blank and you get nervous, and then after you finish, I forgot to mention the most important thing, and then you go out and there's a line of 10 people there waiting to go to confession. So writing down the sins on a piece of paper can be very, very helpful. Make sure afterward you don't leave it on the kitchen table, though, so that your spouse.
Yeah, no, gotta shred it up.
Shred it up right away, yeah. It's top secret. Huh? But I think that's a great help to examine yourself by a good guide, but also to write it out. I strongly, when the kids come to make their first confession, they have to write it out, because the kids, in Spanish and English, otherwise they're going to forget it, and it won't be as complete as it should be. So never forget, there's one principle in sacramental theology called dispositive grace. Dispositive grace means that the graces you receive are commensurate with or in direct proportion to your preparation. Hmm. So the better the preparation you make for the sacrament, the more abundant the graces. I say this, and this is really not hyperbole. One communion is enough to make you a saint, because the fault is not in the sacrament. The fault is in the recipient of the sacrament. So it's really good that we prepare ourselves. And I'm glad that you asked me to come on this program, Cale, because I love the topic of confession, because mm-hmm. I just feel there are some parishes where you only have two people to go to confession that Saturday for 1 hour, and it's a scrupulous sacristan that goes twice in that hour, no? So it's true, though. Yeah, well, at least you've got two confessions, but the scrupulous sacristan comes twice in that hour. And I believe, as I said earlier, if we as priests believe in it, mm-hmm. we're good penitents, we go frequently, we preach it, we promote it, we preach the commandments, we're available for the people, and then we try to, you know, treat the people with a lot of respect and practice yeah. mercy. I believe the people are going to come, you know.
Yeah.
Isn't it painful, Cale, to live with a dirty conscience? I think that's hell on earth, no?
What are you trying to say? I need to go? I mean, no, I of course I need to go. He's reading my soul right now over the airwaves, folks. No, it's true. We do need to all go frequently, and it's such a freeing sacrament as well. And so, mm-hmm. Elena, thank you very much for that phone call. That was a great call. Really appreciate that. If you have a question for Father Broom, you can call this number, 1-888-914-9149. Father Ed Broom is my guest on the Cale Clark Show today, and we'll be back with much, much more with Father Ed right after these really quick messages.
Day 18, the Virgin Most Prudent, pray for us. Having reflected on the 14 titles of Our Lady that begin with the word Mother, we now turn our attention to the 6 titles of Our Lady that begin with the word Virgin. Virgin Most Prudent is the first in this section. Prudence is one of the 4 cardinal virtues, along with justice, temperance, and fortitude. Prudence is the virtue that resides in our intellect and allows us to choose the right means to good ends. The prudent person listens, reflects, ponders, and then decides a course of action that will give the most glory to God. Important decisions should only be made when you're in the state of grace. And since Mary was full of grace, we rightly call her Virgin Most Prudent. When you're faced with an important decision, strive to be in the state of grace, and don't forget to ask Our Lady for advice. Mary, what do you think? Virgin Most Prudent, pray for the Church and our nation.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans are available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
One of my favorite songs, The Remedy by Jason Mraz. And you know what is a great remedy for a lot of the things that cause us ill? It's the sacrament of confession. On the Cale Clark Today Show. No, that's not what it's called. It's called the Cale Clark Show. But today on the show, we are joined by one of America's favorite spiritual guides, Father Ed Broom, who, of course, is the author of Roadmap to Heaven, From Humdrum to Holy, and Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary. He's joining us live on the program. And if you want to talk to him, if you have a question for him, you can call this number, 1-888-914-9149, 1-888-914-9149. You can also tweet at me. You can tweet your question at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, or you can try the show account, at Cale Clark Show. You're going to want to follow that account too. And in fact, Karen Moran, who's one of the producers here at Relevant Radio, just tweeted out from that account a link to the Examination of Conscience by Father Robert Altier that was mentioned earlier in the program by Father Broom. Is a really good examination of conscience for you to check out. So once again, go to the Cale Clark Show account, at Cale Clark Show, to check that out. You can also try emailing your question to cale@relevantradio.com, C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. And Father Broom is working on another book that'll be coming out hopefully in January, about 50 different Marian devotions. And that's really exciting. And he's got another one that he's working on doing the examination of conscience. But he's a very, very good son of the church, and he is waiting. It's probably on the bishop's desk right now. He's waiting for the imprimatur to come through and the Neil Obstadt and all that good stuff. And, you know, Father, I once knew a guy who wrote under the pen name Neil Obstadt, N-E-I-L, Obstadt, which I thought was kind of funny. So tell me about that. Tell me about that. Some of the contents of that book. I know it hasn't been officially approved yet, but we know it's good stuff. And what are some things that you mentioned in this upcoming book about the examination of conscience that can help people as they're maybe preparing to go to confession this weekend?
Well, I start off with this. To make a good confession, there are five basic steps that I learned I was in second grade, you know, back in the early 60s, but there's really been a dearth of catechesis, I would say, in the past 50 years. So yeah. I think it's a good idea to go through the basic steps of making a good confession. And there are five. And the first is examination of conscience. And you're going to be doing that, especially on the Ten Commandments. The second would be sorrow for sin. Now, if you know your catechesis well, you have two types of sorrow, what is called atrition and contrition. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Atrition means you're sorry for your sins, because if you die in the state of mortal sin, you could lose your soul for all eternity. And you're motivated by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's called fear of the Lord. So you don't want to lose your soul. And that's sufficient to receive absolution. Mm-hmm. Yep. But you want to go beyond that. You want to have perfect contrition. And that's contrition of love. You don't want to sin because God loves you so much and you want to love him in return. The third step is firm purpose of amendment. I would say, having confessed many, many years, this is probably where people are weakest, in the sense that we don't really know the reason why we fall into sin. In other words, we have to dig deep to see, why did we fall into this sin? And you go to confession, you might end up by repeating the same thing over and over again. I call it the broken record confession. And I just keep repeating the same thing over and over again. It is because of weakness of the will, but I would say darkness in the intellect. Mm. And sometimes we're not courageous enough to look at ourselves in the mirror to see, why is it that I seem to fall into the same thing over this same sin over and over again? So that's the third step, and it's firm purpose of amendment, which is related to self-knowledge. And I use these one-liners: he who plays with fire will get burnt. He walks on a slippery slope, will fall. He walks on thin ice, is going to fall in. We have to know. Ignatian theology, we also teach us, usually one of the primary reasons why we fall into sin, it's preceded by a state of desolation.
Hmm.
Desolation,
what do you mean by that?
Means,
yeah.
It's a key Ignatian term. Desolation, in the rules for discernment, would be actually rule number 4. Desolation is when you experience a lack of faith, lack of hope, lack of love. You feel sad. You feel depressed. You feel disoriented. You feel as if your life is going nowhere fast. You feel that life is a drag. Your life has no meaning. In that moment, that's when the devil recognizes that you're in that state, and he's going to shoot his arrows at your kryptonite, at your weak point. So think about your life. Before you sin, you're probably in the state of desolation, and you're turning in a wrong way, seeking what seems to be something good, but the devil could disguise himself as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a temporary high, but we know it's really not a temporary high. It's going to be a low, because any time we commit a sin is really a low, and it's not a high. So when we're in the state of desolation, that's when we're most vulnerable. And the fourth would be you confess your sins to the priest. I don't know if you've ever read the Diary of St. Faustine. There's a lot of beautiful passages. And
I was going to ask you about that, yeah, because I know you're very devoted to her, and she has a lot to say about this. So, yeah, please expand.
Yeah. One thing that she says is one occasion she came out of the confessional. She was not at peace. And Jesus appeared to her, and he said, she said, "Why is it that I don't experience peace?" And Jesus said, "Because you forgot to pray for the priest before you went to the confessional." That's important. And then Jesus said to St. Faustina, three qualities of making a good confession. It should be, you should have transparency, humility, and obedience. Mm-hmm. Transparency means you should try to be as clear as possible.
Yep.
Humility is this. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your mother-in-law. Don't blame your worker. Don't blame anyone else. Because what we sometimes do is this. You know, I really lose my patience, but if you knew my wife, if you knew my husband, you would cut me some slack, no? And that, you know, that's pride.
Yeah.
You're trying to really put cream upon cow dung.
Confessing really the sin sins is. Of others, really. I mean, we're not there to confess other people's sins, but our own.
That's right. Do you remember that program, Dragnet?
Of course.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am.
Okay. Well, actually, yeah, we should get into that too later on about brevity. But anyways, I can continue with the three qualities that St. Faustina.
Yes.
You mentioned transparency.
Transparency, humility, and obedience. In other words, when the priest tells you to do something, don't arm wrestle him to try to get him to say something else, okay? See, the priest says, I'd like to say 5 Hail Marys. Well, how about 3, Father? No? Okay, that's the case. 5 deck is the rosary, okay? So, trying to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people will take the priest on and try to arm wrestle him and try to get their own way. And it's not going to work in that way, no?
Well, so, interesting.
And then you say the act of contrition, mm-hmm. and then the priest gives the absolution. Then the fifth step is you carry out the penance that the priest gives to you. My formator in Rome said, whatever the priest gives you, always do double. And that's not that you have to,
mm-hmm.
but I think that's a sign of goodwill if you're willing to double it up. So he says, well, say 5 decades. Well, say 5 Hail Marys and say a decade of the rosary. That's a sign of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all penitents should go through those 5 steps. Examination of conscience on the commandments, sorrow, firm purpose of amendment, confess your sins to the priest. And the priest, you have to confess also number and species of mortal sins. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Is that a lot of people just say, I committed this sin, but if you commit a mortal sin more than once, you have to specify the number of times. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that would be the bare minimum, right? I mean, in terms of confession. Yes. Obviously, you can confess your venial sins too, but you'd have to confess mortal sins, number, and type.
Right. You got it. Mm-hmm. So if that's done, I mean, you make a good confession. You experience a lot of peace. A lot of peace, yeah.
And also, just to clarify, too, because some people might be wondering about this, the penance that's given to you by the priest, that has nothing to do with the actual forgiveness of the sins. It's, you know, even if someone somehow forgets to do the penance, their sins are still forgiven, right? You, just reassure people about that.
Yes, I'll give you an example. I think you're going to love this example. When we commit a sin, we have to repair for it. When I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, I was living in New York, and they played baseball in the streets in West Nyack. And once I hit a home run, but it broke the window of my neighbor. Mm. So I went to the neighbor, and I knocked on the door, and I said, could you please give me my baseball bat back? And the lady said, yes, but under one condition, you have to pay for the window pane. And I said, okay, give me the money, and I go to the hardware store, and I'll buy it, okay? So what I'm saying is we have to pay for our spiritual window panes that we break. Mm. And that's why we have to do some type of penance. And often what the priest gives is it might not always correspond to the sins that we commit, but God is merciful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Most times they don't. They're usually a lot lighter and a lot more merciful than what we maybe deserve. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Father Ed Broom is my guest, and we'll be right back after these very short messages.
The programming you hear throughout the day on the Relevant Radio Network is sponsored in part by Christendom College. More info at getprinciples.com. That's getprinciples.com. We thank them for supporting Relevant Radio. But God,
explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We are with Father Ed Broom, who's joining us live on the program from California. We're talking about confession. It's great to do that on a Friday because, of course, that was the day that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. We're going to go to the phones right now. Lori is calling from Pleasanton, California, with a question for Father. Lori, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I just had a question. I have confessed a sin that was a mortal sin, and the priest responded that he didn't think it was a sin, and it is. And I don't know what to do in that situation. And then sometimes if I remember sins that I committed way in the past, a priest will say, well, you don't have to confess that. It happened a long time ago. And I don't know then if I'm in the clear. I don't.
That's
I just
a good
want
question.
To feel like I've gotten everything off of my chest. And I, at this point, I don't feel like I have. And I feel like my priest gets exasperated with me when I try to bring up things from the past.
Well, I would say this. There's the objective criteria of what a mortal sin is. And there are three conditions. It has to be grave matter, and it has to be full knowledge and full consent of the will. If you have those three conditions, then objectively you do have a mortal sin. And if that's the case, the priest should respect that, because that's canon law, that's the Catechism of Trent, as well as that's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So if you have those three conditions, irrespective of what the priest says, you have a mortal sin. Sometimes what you have to do is you have to, it's sad to say this, you have to choose the priest who's going to be your confessor, who you really believe is the your best confessor. I know it's true that there's a shortage of priests, but I think it's a good idea that all of us should have a confessor that we really feel comfortable with. So what he said also, once you have confessed the sin of the past and you've done the penance, and you've received absolution, then you are forgiven. And at that point, the priest is right. What sometimes happens, though, is this is a very delicate topic, but when a woman confesses, or it could be a man too, the sin of abortion, even though maybe they confessed that many years ago, still there's a real woundedness. And the person that has committed the abortion wants to tell the priest, and I think it's a good idea just to express it, articulate it, because the healing process takes time. You know, forgiveness is one thing, but the healing process is not always exactly the same time that you receive forgiveness from that sin. Mm. That's why, for example, with respect to abortion, there's a post-abortion syndrome in which it takes a while for a woman to be healed, and I say men too. There you have Project Rachel and certain mm-hmm. retreats that are designed to help the women and men that have done abortions. So I think that we should all make a concerted effort to find a confessor that we're really comfortable with. And I tell people, you know, if you feel that I'm not directing you properly, if you feel that I'm not expressing what the magisterium of the church is teaching, then you can find another confessor. Really, I'm honest with them. If they feel that I'm maybe not according to their liking. But what the priest has to do is he has to be the mouthpiece of the magisterium of the church. And that's why I told you earlier, Cale, that tomorrow mm-hmm. we celebrate Pope Paul VI. I'm sure you probably explained to your listeners, or you will in the future, Humana Vitae was probably the most controversial encyclical mm-hmm. in the history of the church. It was a spiritual, I call it a spiritual bomb that exploded yeah. once that document came out. Can I be honest with you? Most Catholics don't accept it, you know?
In practice, and then, yeah.
That's right. We fall into what's called the dictatorship of moral relativism is the word that Ratzinger used. And mm-hmm. Scott Hans calls it cafeteria Catholicism. You pick and you choose whatever your spiritual taste buds like.
Yeah.
And, but you really can't do that. We have to accept the fullness of the truth. And if you mm-hmm. maybe have a priest that is not in harmony with the magisterium of the church, then you might just have to get a priest that's in sync with what the church teaches. I feel, in a certain sense, feel sad that I have to say that as a fellow mm-hmm. priest, but we have to follow. We cannot follow our own theological opinions, but we have to follow what the church teaches, and that's explained by the magisterium. So,
absolutely. And Lori, thank you for your call. That's a great question. Really appreciate that, and hopefully that helped.
Thank you.
Okay, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. Well, let's talk a little bit about contrition, Father, because you know we yes. sometimes hear about perfect contrition. And people think, you know, is it even possible to have perfect contrition?
Perfect contrition, or contrition of love, is we are sorry because our sins are responsible for the passion and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Given that we are human beings, that we are imperfect, we can always improve on it. And there's a principle in confession. I don't know, Cale, you've ever heard the principle of graduality? You've studied moral theology?
You know, go ahead.
Well, the principle of graduality is this. Say, for example, a sinner comes in and confesses, okay, I fell into pornography, okay, mm-hmm. which is a very common sin today. And then the person comes back in maybe in a week and says, I fell into it again. Mm-hmm. Okay. How many times did you fall? Well, when I confessed to you last time, it was every day. But this week, I only fell twice. So what do you have there? You have the principle of graduality in which the person is falling less and less and less into that sin. And any good confessor has to take into account that, you know, change is slow and painful at times. It's not mm-hmm. always easy. You know, overcome problems with drinking, with drugs, with sexual promiscuity or pornography or overeating, things like that. Easier said than done. And as long as a penitent has goodwill, in which they're trying to overcome that sin, relying upon God's grace, that's good enough. But we're weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Our Lord said that, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you talked about earlier, you know, we all have our kryptonite, our dominant fault, you know, then. And speaking of Scott Hahn, one of the things he says in his books is that, you know, from time to time he would go to confession and he just felt like it was I could just press replay on my last confession, Father. I mean, it's the exact same stuff. And the priest said to him, well, what do you want, new sins? You know, yes. In a sense, we should be kind of grateful that we're not adding to the list.
Yes.
And as long as we're working on them, of course, with God's grace, we will eventually overcome with his help. And that's really encouraging for people to know. And Father Ed, we're coming to the end of the program. I just want to make sure that people know how they can get in touch with you online. Do you have a website that they can go to?
My website, probably the best would be www.fatherbroom.org. Elvira, yeah?
Fatherbroom.com.
www.fatherbroom.com. That's probably the best way to make that contact. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I've got blogs, I've got mm-hmm. videos, I've got articles, Spanish and English. There's a lot out there, yeah?
I post about six
or seven things every day on my Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, and as you said, you've got a great Facebook page as well, so people can check that out. FatherEdBroom.com is the name of the website, FatherEdBroom.com. And actually, no, I made a mistake. It is actually...
FatherBroom.com.
It's just simply FatherBroom.com.
Yeah.
That's it.
Knock out the Ed.
well, listen, you know, that's one of the things you want to do as a priest. You know, you want to get rid of yourself so Christ can shine through, right? Knock out the
Ed,
I guess,
in a sense.
He must increase
and I must decrease, John the Baptist said, right?
Absolutely. And Father Broom is also the author of several great books, such as Roadmap to Heaven, and also From Humdrum to Holy, a step-by-step guide to living like a saint, and Total Consecration through the Mysteries of the Rosary. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the program, Father Broom. I know you'll be back in the future. I want to take a minute just to thank my Top Gun team here, the best of the best, the elite. Lucas Holt produced the show this week, as he always does. Patrick Alog screened the calls. And Karen Moran, of course, directed social media and communications for the show. I hope everybody has an amazing weekend. If you get a chance to, go to confession. Hey, don't let the priest sit there, you know, hearing confessions from the sacristan over and over again, like Father Broom was saying. Have a wonderful weekend. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.
Day 18, Virgin Most Prudent, pray for us. Having reflected on the 14 titles of Our Lady that begin with the word Mother, we now turn our attention to the 6 titles of Our Lady that begin with the word Virgin. Virgin Most Prudent is the first in the section. Prudence is one of the 4 cardinal virtues, along with justice, temperance, and fortitude. Prudence is the virtue that resides in our intellect and allows us to choose the right means to good ends. The prudent person listens, reflects, ponders, and then decides a course of action that will give the most glory to God. Important decisions should only be made when you're in the state of grace. And since Mary was full of grace, we rightly call her Virgin Most Prudent. When you're faced with an important decision, strive to be in the state of grace and don't forget to ask Our Lady for advice. Mary, what do you think? Virgin Most Prudent, pray for the Church and our nation.